Now, we've talked before about Mark and how events in Mark move fast. There's no time to waste, right? And we see Jesus has gone from being one who was listening to John the Baptist at one point to now having superstar status, right? I mean, that's quite a change, right? From being in the crowd to now being the popular one. And last week we noted that even as he goes around, he needs to take time to hide and sort of recharge his batteries, right? AKA to pray. Right? He needs to go away and get away from people just to be centered. And still, everyone is searching for him. Now think of the Beatles, right? You've seen the movies Way Past, right? When they entered any concert venue, what happened? Oh, the crowd was roaring, right? And it was going crazy. And when Martin Luther King entered the city, or there was an event that was going on, people just followed him, right? People wanted to hear from him. Or think about Third Day in concert. Oh, that's another thing. Anyway, actually, all these have something in common, is that they go from virtual unknowns to being people that are in the limelight. People that are famed, that people are following. And that represents a dynamic that I call charisma. There is something about them that just makes them just who they are. Now, I like to look into the meaning of words sometimes. And show me any word, right? Maybe some of you remember this. Show me any word, and I'll tell you the root is in Greek, right? Greek, big fat Greek wedding, remember? Oh my God, this is a long time ago. Sorry, guys. But anyway, the words dynamic comes from a Greek word. The root is dunamis or dynamis, which is the title of the sermon today. Now, that's where the root of dynamite is, right? And the word dynamo. That's all the roots of those words. And it means power or potentiality, energy or energetic, forceful. All those connotations are with that word. And when you have a dynamic personality, it relates to one that has energy. That somehow not only has it, but sort of spreads it around. Anybody remember my mom, Irma? All right? I don't want to be too close to her because all that dynamism, it's too much, right? But there's others. I mean, you know people that have that energy, that have that charisma. And if they stand and say, hey, listen, I think we need to do this, people follow, right? People just follow because they see that there is something that is alive in that person. Now, I believe that I could qualify my mom as charismatic, which is defined as a special magnetic charm or a personal leadership sort of magic that arouses enthusiasm and loyalty. Now, think of that in terms of people that you may know that you admire, that whenever you hear those people speak, you're like, my, I'm moved, right? Didymus. That's what Jesus exhibits in the text that we have been working on in Mark 1 and now in chapter 2. His preaching, his healing, he's casting out demons. I mean, people are being free, liberated from all kinds of stuff. And people just can't have enough of him. They're after him, right? They want to be around him. And that's where we find Jesus as he returns from touring in Galilee. And he returns back to home base, to Capernaum. And again, as we remember last week, right, all of the Facebook posts were going like crazy, and people were sharing here and there and liking buttons, and Twitter was just exploding. Jesus is around. Jesus is here. He's home. And people gathered around the house until there was no more room. And then they started to gather outside. And we know the story. You know, there's friends that bring this person that is lame, that's paralyzed. They bring him to Jesus. They can't get in. And they scratch their heads and says, let's go to the roof. They go to the roof. They open up a hole. And through this hole, they just send their friend down. And down there is Jesus looking up and saying, what in the world is going on? And when they send him down, he sees this. And they see, and he sees their faith. So he forgives the guy's sins, and you hear the scribes, you know, they're mumbling and saying all this stuff, all the academics, you know, they're saying, ah, this is not cool, this is not cool, I haven't seen that written anywhere, you know, and they're talking in their hearts. It's blasphemy. And Jesus perceives it and heals the man. And teaches them a lesson. And they, of course, are amazed. They glorify God. Now, the thing about this passage is that it invites us to see all these characters that are involved in the story, and invites us to see them in the raw. It doesn't explain too much of each one of them, but it says exactly what we need to hear. And when we see these characters, you see, we can take each one of them and say, how would they look at this event? How would they process what happened? I mean, there's all kinds of perspectives here. If we take the perspective of the friends, we can see in them resolve, right? They come to this place and they refuse to wait. They refuse to return back home with their effort frustrated and without the opportunity to give their friend a chance. Didymus. Of course, if we use the perspective of the owner of the house, they say that this was Jesus' home. He must be saying, wait, don't break the roof, man. What you doing? Stop. What's going on? I don't have insurance, dude. You know, what would be that reaction? I don't know, but you fill in the blanks. Now, if you see this scene from the paralytic's perspective, he's probably coming in hopeful. He's probably coming in with this desire to see his body restored. And he's probably even surprised at what his friends are doing. The result, their audacity to get on the roof and even destroy this man's house. To get him in there. And later, he's just happy. Imagine, this rabbi, this teacher says, you're forgiven. And after that, I'm sure that he's joyful. When he stands up and says, my body's restored. I don't know about you, but I'd be dancing, right? I'd be like David or something like that. Now, there's also the scribes. The scribes probably felt like I felt when I went to seminary. Resisting every step of the way. I was like, I can't take this. I was being challenged in everything that I had learned through my life about God. I was being pushed, prodded, tore apart. And I was saying, no, no, this cannot be. This cannot be. I can't imagine their disbelief, followed by amazement and bewilderment. You know, when your eyes go like this, boring, you know, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not normal. Dude, he healed them. I'd be going on an investigation, you know. I'd be following the guy and make sure that he was paralyzed. And, you know, I'd be looking at Jesus and saying, man, who's this guy and where's he coming from and what's all this about? I want to know if there's something behind what I've seen, right? Maybe it was a trick. I mean, I'm sure there's other present there. Now, when they see this man get up, their jaws just drop down to the floor. And they're dragging it around. And, oh, my God. I've never seen this in my life. He's been cured. But this is not like curing a fever, right? Remember the mother-in-law of Peter? I mean, she had a fever, you know, and Jesus touches her. She's restored. But this guy is a paralytic. Right? Right, Scott? I mean, back problems is not something that you think is just going to go away, right? And then there's the perspective of Jesus. I mean, he just comes back from tour. He's probably tired. He's probably even concerned about what's happening around him. You know, when he was preaching in this preaching tour, and he heals this leper. Remember, Didymus, right? He's active. He's doing something. And he heals this man, and he tells him, don't say anything to no one. And this guy is like a little kid. You know what happens with little kids, right? You tell them, no, don't do this. And that's exactly what they go. That's exactly what they do. Don't do that. It's like an invitation to try, right? And this leper is like, how am I going to stay shut, man? I'm going to have to tell this. So he goes to the internet cafe, he makes a post on his Facebook page, you know, and it's going. It's rampant. And Jesus is like, dude, man, I just told you. Don't say anything. Now I have to deal with this. You know, maybe Jesus is getting to the point of being overworked. Needing a vacation. I don't know. I'd rather be surfing. I don't know. So the question is, not how all these perspectives to the story are plugging into here, but the question really is, how do you see it? Is it frustrating, like, to see all this action, all this activity, all this healing, all this bravery, all this dynamis, and then look at your life and say, girl, it sure is amazing, but that's not me. What these guys did was brave, was courageous. I mean, they were on. It was spectacular to see how Jesus healed this man. And I'm sure this guy is full of joy and all that. But what's that got to do with me? I can't do that. Oh, come on, people. Don't tell me that that's not what you think. Because I cannot be the only one. Okay? I mean, I see all this stuff here. And I ask myself, how in the world? Dynamis? Do I have that? You know, and of course, you know that we have this self-esteem thing, right? Oh, I can't do that. I don't have it. I don't have that power. I don't even have the potentiality, the energy, the force. The force is not with me, right? Come on now, Star Wars fans. Well, don't worry. Because that's exactly what people have been doing through the ages, through all the Bible times, through all of history, and today. I mean, you remember Gideon, right? Gideon was chosen to go to war, and he's saying, I don't have what it takes. God, you're going to have to prove to me that you're calling me, right? You remember that? And then God proves it, and he says, no, you're going to have to prove it again. And then God does, and then he says, one more time. I better be sure. And you remember this guy Moses? You remember him? When God says, hey, I called you, man. I got a mission for you. He says, mm-mm. Not me. I ain't got what it takes. People, you know what? I've been listening to some of the sermons, and it's bad. I mean, I didn't know I stuttered so much. And I really am grateful to you, because I don't know how you can take it every Sunday, really. You remember this guy Peter, right? I don't have it. I don't have dynamis. And even Peter, that considered himself able and worthy, he says, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. Da-da-da, right? I'm not going to do it, because I got what it takes. Even the self-confident one, right, is faced with his reality, with his frail potential. But God showed each one of these folks that it was not in their power that this happened. It was not because that they were so cool people, or that they had all these skills, or that they had what it took. It was because of God. Hello? It was because God was working through them. And now I tell you, this is what I learned. It's not me, but it's in me. Hello? Amen. It's not me, but it's in me. Because if God is with me, then why do I have to get in the way? If God is with me, then even if I don't have the potential, He's got all that is required. Now, one thing is for sure. When things are going wrong in our lives, we would want to have that power to overcome, right? When things are not going well, that's when we go, God, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, help me through this. When troubles arise, man, we know where the solutions are. We pray. We ask ourselves, you know, what can we do? Perhaps in the same way we can ask God, how can you provide that dynamis in my life so that it's not only a matter of when I'm needy. It's not only a matter of when I'm empty. It's not only a matter of when I have desires in my life that I can't come. I don't have, and I don't see the potential. Help me. Help me. Help me to see with your eyes. We can ask God, how can you provide that energy in my life every day? How can you help me to reach, to teach, to serve? And when I say teach, again, teach myself. Right? It's not like I'm imposing to somebody else, but be teachable. Be humble. Help me. Help us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, is when we're confronted with your word that we can see a different side of reality. When we can see your reality and not our limitations. I pray, God, that each one of us is able to come to you and ask to be empowered. Not so that we can satisfy ourselves and our needs, but be empowered to be an element of change, an agent in this world for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.